I feel a little bit like the young man that was in my office this afternoon that was going to be the speaker for the youth tonight, and he needed somebody to prop him up. And I prayed with him and encouraged him and told him everything was going to be just fine and this will pass and all that good stuff. But I feel a little bit like that because I know that as I stand here tonight, I can't fill, but I'd like to be able to fill those big shoes that usually stands here. Sherry does such a tremendous job. Yeah, she does. John and Sherry have been a tremendous help to us over the years. Been with us all, some of the time when we weren't here, they stayed and just continue to be involved, and we're certainly blessed to have the both of them. I visited with her a little bit this afternoon. She called me to talk to me about some things, and as I visited with her, I said, well, how's the vacation, or how's the time? She says, well, it's been just fine, but it's about to come to an end. And I said, well, we're looking forward to you coming back. But they have had a great time, and we're blessed to be able to have them. And let me say to those of you that have come tonight how very pleased and how very blessed that we are that you came. You didn't have to come, but you did come. Well, praise God. But I want you to know it's not taken for granted your faithfulness. It's not taken for granted your faithfulness by the leadership of this church, but by God. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but when you think in terms of faithful and faithfulness, that's the key to promotion. You go back and study the Bible, especially in the parable of the talents. The secret to promotion, the secret to getting ahead is faithfulness. When I talk in those terms, I'm reminded of a story of a place where Janet worked one time, and there was a young man there that was not performing to the ability that the owner thought he should perform to, and finally he decided that he would just, in a very kind way, release him. So he went out to talk to this young man, and he said, you know, I think that probably it's time for you to go someplace else and expand your employment opportunities and do something else. And the young man looked up at him. He says, no, sir, I'm very happy here. Thank you. And he just went ahead, and he continued working there. I guess the guy didn't have the nerve to go ahead and release him after that. So faithfulness, if you be there, it's the key to promotion. Well, anyway, I don't know what that has to do with the message tonight. We have talked about this and given Brian, my son, kept asking me, well, what kind of a title are we going to put on the message tonight? And I finally said, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to call this message, Your Tongue is the Steering Wheel to Your Life. Your tongue is the steering wheel to your life. So do you have outlines and so forth on your, for you to be able to use? And then at the bottom of the outline, there will be some discussion questions for at the end. Can you think or remember of a time when it was a very special day and you waited a long time with great anticipation and great excitement concerning the coming day? Most of us can do that. Be sure you get that in the right one, Joyla. As a child, Christmas was always a time whenever we anticipated and looked forward to it. Birthdays was another time. And I was thinking about my own particular life, and probably I looked forward to having my 16th birthday. I started at about 14 years of age begging my mother for a car. And I'm an only child. That's the reason I like a big family. I'm an only child. And you too? And I had pretty well gotten my way as an only child. Most everything that I had pushed hard enough for, I got. Now, you know, within reason. But I, on this particular occasion, starting at 14, I wanted to have my own car. And she did not give in on it. She said no. And she said no. And she said no. I'll bet I asked her 100 times, maybe more than that. I don't know. It was almost every day, every week type thing. She held out till I was 16 years old before I got my first car. Well, to say the least, that was probably my most looked forward to birthday or day of anticipation. For months and weeks and days, we looked. Well, this is the same type of anticipation and excitement that the children of Israel must have had when they were standing on the banks of the River Jordan, getting ready to go across to possess the land. This was the second generation. The generation before, of course, wandered in the wilderness and they never got to go. But this particular group of people was about to go into the promised land. And I'd like for us at this time to listen to what God was saying to Joshua at that time. Joshua, the first chapter, do we have that, do you have a list of the scriptures? It said, one's saying yes and one's saying no. You got them on there. Well, give them a, if you have a copy of it, can you do it? Can't do it. Like I said, you got them on there. Well, listen very carefully then. This is what God was saying to Joshua. Beginning with the 7th verse of the 1st chapter. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong, be of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua commanded the officer of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now in verse 8 and verse 11 will be our two key scriptures that we will be talking about. In the Basic English Bible, translates verse 8 this way. Let this book of the law be ever on your lips and in your thoughts day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. I think it's pretty easy to recognize what God's telling Joshua is how to be prosperous and successful. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that wants to be prosperous and successful? Good. Then you are here for the right, I got the right message tonight. Then in verse 11, Joshua immediately began to make preparation to go in and possess the land. If you want to sum it up in 3 words, and I believe it is on your outline, or 3 phrases, what God was telling Joshua was meditate the word, speak the word, and obey the word. And you'll be prosperous and you'll be successful. I mean, it's not that's not real complicated. I really find that most of the time when I'm studying God's Word, that it's not complicated, and it's pretty simplistic, but yet it's very effective. Three short phrases: meditate the Word, speak the Word, and obeying the Word. Perhaps the biggest barrier to us being prosperous and successful is a lack of understanding of the importance of what we think, what we say, and what we do. Now, this is especially true in the world. But unfortunately, it's also true as far as much of the church is concerned. Yet the Bible has much to say about our thinking, our speaking, and our obeying. One of the most basic Christian principles is, do you believe that the Bible is a standard for living as Jesus talked about in John 10:10 when he said that he came to bring us life and have it more abundantly? Now, I don't want to pass over this too quickly, because this, especially for those of you that may have never heard a message like this. Basically, the Bible is a standard of living for you and I. It's a standard for us to have the abundant life. If you live according to the Bible, do obey His commandments, you will have the abundant life. And so because of that, it's important that each one of us see the Bible as being that standard for us to be able to have it. I would pose that question to each of you tonight. If you believe that the Bible is our standard for living, you'll find one of the greatest treasures in the Bible in what we're going to share tonight. If you don't believe that the Bible is a standard for our living, you're going to find this to be a very boring message. Well, let's look and see what the Bible says about this vital subject. Living a victorious Christian life is not a set of formulas. However, if we're going to enjoy the promises, we must live by His principles. If we're going to enjoy the promises, we must live by His principles. We got that? Okay. John tells us, the Gospel of John tells us, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, and whatever you ask, it will be given you. If you abide by His principles, you will enjoy His promises. Again, it's pretty simplistic. God's saying to Joshua, if you will meditate my word, if you will speak my word, if you will obey my word, not only will you have a life, but you're going to have a full, blessed life. Again, I'm a candidate for that kind of a life. I'm often amazed at what some people consider a life to be. Maybe it's partying, carousing, doing a lot of things that perhaps are ungodly. And they think they're having a life, and the next day they feel empty, they've got a headache, they've got all the things that go with it. And yet God is saying, all you got to do to have the kind of a life that is fulfilling and blessed is just meditate, speak, and obey. Amen. We got that? Meditate, speak, and obey the Word of God. Now, so he was telling Joshua this. God didn't perform some kind of magic. God is giving Joshua a choice as far as his destiny is concerned. He was letting Joshua determine his own destiny. And it's the same God that was on that bank with Joshua on that day, speaking to him. It's the same God that you and I serve today, and He's still giving each one of us a choice as to what kind of life we can live. It's because of the choices that we have will determine what kind of a life that we have. You can choose your destiny by choosing to serve the Lord. Meditate, speak, obey. Meditate, speak, obey. I could almost waltz to that. I won't do that again, Janet. He would not only have success, but it would be good success. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And of course, what that tells me is there's two ways to have the to get rich. One is with the blessings, and one is without the blessings. I'll choose the blessings of God. Why was God giving Joshua these directions about being prosperous and successful? God wanted Joshua to be prosperous and successful. But again, this is a very simplistic message. Why did he give him these directions? Because he wanted him to be prosperous and to be successful. What's that say for you and I? You and I live under a better covenant than what Joshua had. What does that say for you and I? God wants you to be prosperous and be successful. Yeah. God wants you to have a good life. Now, I'm not saying that there's not ever going to be any problems or anything to deal with. I'm not saying that. But I'm telling you that if you serve God, if you meditate on His Word, if you speak His Word, and you keep calling on Him, you will be prosperous and you will be successful. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. If God wanted Joshua to be successful and prosperous, can you think of any reason why He wouldn't want you to be prosperous and to be successful? There's no good reason for it. We live under a better covenant. People are continually raising the question about how can I have a meaningful and purposeful life? God's given us the answer here. Meditate, speak, and obey. I feel impressed to share this. Probably not the smartest thing I've ever done, but I'm still going to share it. Recently, most of you know that we struggle with some health challenges. And there's one thing about it, if you're in a situation where you're at home sitting in your chair, you got a lot of time to think. And I'm not sure but what God said, okay, now you're where you are, listen to me. But, you know, you start asking yourself, God, what is it that I can learn or do as far as my situation is concerned? And quite honestly, the Lord, I think it was the Lord impressed me that I needed to put Him first more. Now, I'm going to share something that's not meant to be egotistical, but it's a fact. And I've said it, and I don't mean it any other way, except that I have a level of wisdom. Yeah, I do. I'm just take it for what it's worth. But you have to be careful to not let the gift become your God. See what I'm saying? You have to be careful and not let the gift become your God. So I think in a situation that I didn't like, I learned a valuable lesson. You know, it's not something we didn't already know, but yet sometimes you get so busy doing the stuff that you forget some of the things you're supposed to do. But what I'm saying to you here tonight is, always meditate the Word, put Him first, confess the Word, and act on the Word. There comes a time when you have to exercise your faith. Your words affect your life. What a person says with their mouth can either, and listen very carefully to this, can either release or negate what he believes in his heart. I'm going to say that again. And some of this is, as I said, is for perhaps somebody who's never heard a message along this line. What a person says with his mouth can either release or negate what he believes in his heart. I don't know about you, but I have a little game that I play when I go to the store or go. I don't go inside usually to get gas, but I used to. But when I'm in an environment that's not a church environment, and I will specifically ask people, well, how you doing? Man, I get about a 10-minute dissertation on how bad things are, how negative things are. About their husband, their wife, their whatever the case may be. I mean, they just tear everything down. You know what? Unfortunately, there's sometimes when we Christians get in that same mold. What you say with your mouth can either release or negate what you believe in your heart. I know that many times people don't realize how important it is what their words are, but your words affect your lives. Your success or lack of it will be a result of what you think on and what you say. Dr. Martin Seligman, who's a study professor at the University of Pennsylvania, has studied thousands and thousands of people and come to the conclusion in his studies. People who are optimistic and those who are positive, or to me, those who have faith, live longer, have a better life, are happier, and accomplish more than people who are not optimistic or positive. Because of what they meditate on, what they think on, what they speak, and what their life is. Another study said salesmen who are optimistic have 37% more sales than those who are not optimistic. It's important for what you meditate on, what you think on, and what you say, and then act on it. Going back to what God told Joshua on the bank of the Jordan. You will either be a success or a failure. What you believe in your heart and what you say with your mouth. This is not some kind of a gimmick. I'm not selling anything. I can't bottle it. I don't have anything to gain tonight. We've already taken the offering. Your mouth is the steering wheel of your life. That's right. Not only does God desire for his children to believe his word, but also to speak and obey his word. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And what he was saying is what you meditate on or what's in your heart, it will come out. Whatever you think on will ultimately come out of your lips. Actually, our lips are the revealers of our heart or what we are thinking on. Now, Jesus explained this connection between the mouth and the heart. In this way, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. God wanted Joshua to be prosperous and successful. Why else would he give these directions to him? Now, God was giving these directions to Joshua so he could be blessed, so he could be prosperous, so he could be successful. Let me use this illustration. If I want you to come to my house for dinner and you don't know where I live, and I give you directions to come there, I give you those directions because I want you to be there. Right? Oh, Janet, we've got 70 people that's going to be for dinner tomorrow night. Again. The point is, if God gave Joshua directions about how to be prosperous and be successful, obviously he wanted him to be there.
That's
He wanted him to be blessed. He wanted him to be prosperous. God did not make an exception between you and Joshua. We live under a better covenant. I think this is one of the best kept secrets in the Bible. I don't know about you, but for many years, I'd never heard a message like this and to pull these nuggets out of the Word of God. But then Jesus went on to say, every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your mouth you shall be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. I wonder tonight if we really had the revelation knowledge on what we're talking about here tonight, how you would react, or how you would put a guard on your tongue or on your mouth. If you really knew that God was listening to everything you said, do you think you would talk differently? Mm-hmm. Well, He is. He is. Yes, He is. He also knows your very thoughts, what you're meditating on. Well, Jesus used words to defeat the devil, to dominate the sea, to dominate demons, to restore sight, to restore speech, to restore life. He used speech, or His words, to be able to do it. Jesus used His mouth for good, never for evil or slander or cutting or gossiping or that kind of a thing. He always used His mouth for good. Amen? What we say is important. Our words will either justify us or we'll be condemned. Words are like seeds. When they're planted, they'll bring in a harvest after their own kind. If you plant good seeds, then those will bring in a good harvest. If you plant negative seeds, they're going to bring in the same kind of harvest. The tongue, read a book one time called Hung by Your Tongue. The tongue is the controlling factor in your life. It's the steering wheel. It's the director. It's what you say will determine where you will go. There's a correlation between the words of your mouth and what you're going to do. The Apostle James tells us that if a man can bridle his tongue, he can control his whole body. The words you say, listen carefully. The words you say will affect your marriage, relationship, jobs, finances, health, peace, prosperity, success, and failures. Your words will allow you to minister to hurting people. They'll allow you to lead people to the Lord, to disciple people, to love people, but unfortunately to hurt people as well. It's a two-edged sword. What you say is vital. In fact, the Scripture says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When I worked for the newspaper for some 30 years or the last 12, I had a sign that I hung in my office there at the newspaper. And it was this here, your words are life, your words are death. And people come in, they'd look at that sign and say, what does that mean? And it gave me an opportunity to take a situation like that and share with them. But that's so true. That saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That old boy didn't know what he's talking about. Because you can hurt people with it. But the good news is you can build people up. You can encourage people with your words. You can make them feel like $1 million if you will use them to encourage them. But it's a controlling factor of your life. It will control what you can do in the kingdom of God. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue can either work for you or it can work against you. It's never a neutral force. It can speak life or death, blessings or cursings. What you say with your mouth will either release or negate what you believe in your heart. You can speak life to a dead marriage. You can speak death to a good marriage. You can speak death to sickness and disease. Or you can speak life to a person that is sick. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you speaking? What are you speaking, folks? Put a guard on your mouth. And be sure that whatever you speak is God's word or a part of God's word, or to be able to help somebody, to encourage somebody, to believe for something. If you go back to that scripture that we kiddingly say that Kenneth Hagin wrote in Mark's gospel and about moving the mountain, and it talks about in there about three or four times what you say, speak to that mountain. And as you speak God's word, it will move mountains. It might be a mountain of finance. It might be a mountain of health. It might be a mountain of family problems. But you speak to that situation, and it will move. David said it perhaps best. He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." Let's say that together. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's make that your prayer. In fact, if I had anything to give you for this week to practice, that's the scripture that I would give you to use. Could I write it down? Let me give you where it's located. Psalms 19:14. That printer, that computer didn't put it on here. Yes. That, everybody got that? Psalms 19:14. That's a good one. That's a refrigerator scripture.
Yeah.
Put that on there. Yes, amen. You know, the Christian faith has been called the Great Confession. And I think obviously they're referring to the scriptures of Romans 10, 8 and 10, 8 through 10. And that's true, it is. That scripture, I'm going to read this and then I want to just talk about it for a minute. But what does it, in Romans 10, 8 through 10, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. You notice how many times it talks about mouth and heart and how it draws them together? There's a correlation there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's one that we have quoted hundreds, thousands of times. For with the heart one believes to unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And we use that extensively when we're talking about being saved. But that same principle is true in every other area of your life. It's what's in your heart and what you say. What's in your heart and what you say. How powerful is the tongue? Well, Proverbs 15:4 tells us that a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Salvation, blessings, prosperity, victory, and joy are all promises of God's word. And the person that receives them is the one who believes the promise, will believe them in his heart, confess them with his mouth, and it shall come to pass. What is the power of the tongue with the word of God? Well, in Psalms 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That's it. No further question. The word is settled. God's word is settled. Now, when we speak what God speaks and how God speaks, His word, then it is a moving, powerful force. If you will say what God says, believe it in your heart, and speak it with your mouth, you can move mountains for the kingdom of God. You can move mountains in your life. But you've got to believe. And if you believe in your heart, that's faith, my friends. If you believe it in your heart, then that's faith. Now then you start speaking that faith, which is God's word, and you will be able to accomplish those things that you could never accomplish on your own. God wants to do a work in our life. God wants to do He continually wants us to grow. I don't care where you are in the Lord. You might be saved 50 years. I've been saved 50 years. Yeah. Or you might have been saved 5 minutes. But God's still wanting to raise you up. God's still wanting to raise you up. Wherever you are, He's wanting to raise us up. This is the way to grow spiritually. Meditate, speak, act. Meditate, speak, act. God's word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Nancy? Nancy's coming at this time and going to sing to the Lord for us. And let's worship the Lord as she ministers to the Lord in song. going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment, please. I want you to take just a moment, and I want you to think about your life with the Lord. And I want you to just take a moment, and we're going to just be quiet, and I want you to hear the Holy Spirit. Just allow Him to speak to you. I know that tonight that I would say that we are here with mostly people that are born again, God-fearing, mature, spiritual people. But I want you to evaluate where you are spiritually and see if the Lord would say something to you to encourage you to rise to that new level. When you're meditating, are you meditating the Word, or are you meditating on things other than the Word or the Gospel or the Kingdom of God? When you're speaking, are you speaking what God or Jesus would have you to say? Or sometimes do we slip? And then, of course, check your obedience scale. And if the Lord would, Holy Spirit, speak something to you, let that be the thing that will spur you forward to rise to that level. It might be something simple. It might be a situation that you're struggling with. It might be something you might not want to give up. I'm not going to be your Holy Spirit, but let the Spirit speak to you.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.